Hey, welcome to the Innovation Mindset powered by the Jim Moran College of Entrepreneurship. I am Mark McNeese, your host. And today in studio, we have a finalist of the Innovation Challenge, Johanna Rubin from Hand Me Door. How you doing, Johanna?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming in. That's really awesome. So tell us a little bit about your business.
It's called Hand Me Dorm. Essentially, it is an online marketplace for college students to buy and sell used college dorm items. And the goal is to limit the waste that the move-out process produce and how costly everything is. And I'm trying to help make it easier for people to do that by also providing on-campus pickup and drop-off stations and just make everything easy and affordable and everything like that.
Fantastic. So what kind of inspired this idea?
I lived in a dorm and I personally experienced what it was like to buy a bunch of stuff that was very particular for dorms. And when I moved out, I saw everyone throwing things out and I personally wasted a lot of things that I spent a lot of money on. And I was just like, really, there's no other way to go about this. And then also when I moved into an apartment, I realized, yeah, there really is no way to use that same stuff in an apartment. I was like, there has to be some sort of solution for this. And that is what sparked the idea.
Oh, that's really cool. So as you were like thinking about this, I guess I'm pretty far removed from being a dorm dweller. So what are some of the like most common things you're seeing being thrown out?
It really ranges from a lot of stuff. There could be chair cushions. A lot of microwaves are thrown out because you move into an apartment that has microwaves. I threw out my toaster personally, not threw it out, but I kept it because it's still valuable, obviously. Mm-hmm. But toasters, especially mattress toppers and mattress covers and sheets, because everything's made for twin beds in dorms most of the time, right, at least in Florida State. But it really arranges from a lot of stuff, especially storage organizers too, because you have closets and dressers and things like that that already are provided. So it's really a lot of stuff, almost everything that you buy.
All right, cool. So take us through the business model. Like how do you make money on this? What's the, I guess, the transactions and how does that all work?
Yeah, so basically I'm providing an app and a website, mm-hmm, and they run it, so they buy and sell stuff. And when the sellers are selling their stuff, they'll get presented from them as the transaction is being made. And then also, so from every transaction made online, basically I'll take a percentage from that. And then if they choose to use the storage and the drop-off and pickup centers so that they can just give it to us and then we'll distribute it for them on their behalf, it'll take an additional percentage.
Okay, so cool. So do you foresee this being something that's like always going on, or is this like a specific kind of only like the week or the few days when everybody's moving out?
So ultimately, there's three semesters. So it would be in fall, spring, and summer that people would need this. People are always coming in, always moving out. So it's a cycle that happens every single year at every college nationwide. Mm-hmm. But also, there's people, things come and go. Their style changes. And the market for college dorm stuff is all college students. So it's people between 18 and 22. And so really, anyone can use it at any time. You don't even have to be in college. But because decorations will be sold on it as well. So okay, it's something that could be used at any point, but specifically if you want to buy stuff that is really just for dorms, that is a place to do it. And there's three times a year that would be the main parts. But again, it could be used at any time.
All right, nice. So you went through the innovation mindset, that's the podcast, Innovation Challenge, mm-hmm, where we got the name of the podcast from. So tell us a little bit about the process and your thoughts about just the competition and things like that.
Going into the competition, I didn't expect anything. I was just like, I have two more years at the school. I also am technically a sophomore. So I was like, let me just do what I can while I have the opportunity. So I took the idea, no high hopes for anything. And I just put in the information that I could. And the process was surprisingly very helpful for me. It was really just an idea in the beginning. And the fast pace of it was really hard, but it really forced me to progress and really think about my idea in a way that I wouldn't have if I was left to my own devices. And yeah, it was very helpful. And I'm happy to see what my progress could be if I put some timeframes around things and set some goals for myself. So it was really helpful and it definitely changed my mindset about how I can be going about my business and progressing just as a whole.
Okay. So where do you see this business going?
Obviously, as a college student creating a business, and I'm in the early stages of my like college experiences within my major, it's definitely a little intimidating and I've never done anything like this before. So it's hard to really know what would happen, but my goal is to continue progressing, doing everything I can to validate the model and validate the need for the market. And just hopefully the ultimate goal is to have this be available at every college that would need it. Obviously, that's a long-term goal, but it is really needed. Hopefully, I would be able to provide this at every college. And really, it would ultimately reduce a lot of waste because of how much is produced. It's like I mentioned, if you remember at the competition, it's 230 tons of waste, usually on average, every move-out period that is wasted from college dorm stuff.
No, it's crazy. You think about just the mass amounts of students and what do you do with it? And how much time are you willing to spend into have an avenue like this? I think I may have mentioned this at the competition, but I love business models that takes people perceived trash and monetizes it. I've always loved that business model's awesome for figuring a way to seeing that waste and figuring out a way to monetize it. That's super, super cool.
Thank you.
So how much of this is not a trick question. Like how much of this is driven by just sustainability and circular economy kind of ideas versus like you just want to be an entrepreneur and this seems to be a way to do a business right now?
That is definitely a good question. I think I don't expect anything out of this in the near future, really. And I know it's going to be a lot of work. And I have a lot of other passions that are that are probably more important to me, like personally, but this was something that I personally struggled with. It's not just I saw something and I was like, oh, like this is like a big business opportunity. Mm-hmm. I personally went through this and I know that it's an ongoing problem everywhere and it's a really strong need and I do care about the environment. It's honestly hard in America, I think, especially in South Florida, or I live in South Florida, but in Florida and just being privileged enough to not see in your immediate life or be aware of how waste affects the environment and how it affects the world and the way that it's going. It's really something you have to do research into. So it's hard to really say that I'm like, oh my God, I see the way that this is impacting my life and I need to do something about it. But I know it is important. And I know that I experienced it. And I know that so many other people are experiencing it. So I just want to be able to help people. And I know it's a real need. So it's both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. And again, it wasn't a trick question. Yeah. I'm the sustainability guy here, but I wasn't trying to trip you up on that.
Yeah. it's a valid question,
but,
for sure.
But I think one thing that's cool about social entrepreneurship or having business models that have a positive social or environmental impact is that you can do well financially while doing actually something good.
Yeah.
So I think that you've hit upon that. So forgive me, but I think I need a little bit more clarity on the process of it. And you may have already said this, and maybe I just didn't really visualize it very well. So, like the way I'm envisioning it is there may be an issue with like at one point you have a whole bunch of sellers and basically no buyers.
Okay.
And at the end of the semester. And then at the beginning of the semester, you have a bunch of people maybe looking to buy, but nobody really selling. Have you thought about that or how does that work?
So once again, it's three semesters. So at the end of each semester, people are selling. And then right after that, people are moving in. So there's three periods that would happen. But basically where most people move in the fall and then they move out in the spring, that's the majority of it. Mm-hmm. And so where the storage aspect comes into place, it's people, there wouldn't have been as much of a need for the business if I relied on people to store their own stuff, to transport their own stuff, because no one really wants to do that and they could throw it away easily and not care about it because that's what people have been doing. The aspect of taking people's stuff, storing it for them and distributing it on their behalf and still having them make money for it makes the whole process worth it and really is an incentive to mitigate the waste ultimately. But we would store it over the summer, let's say, and then give it back and then host the drop-off stations to give it to people when they're moving in. So there is assumed that there would be a long period for a good amount of the stuff until it's sold. So So that's why we hold it.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense to me now.
I didn't really explain it before.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if I didn't.
It's hard to explain everything all at once.
No, exactly. And that's why we have a long format conversation about it. So we can just ask questions and things like that. And I couldn't remember because like I was like, I'm like trying to get rid of something. Like, so if it makes sense what you're doing. That totally makes sense. All right, cool. So how has this idea changed since the beginning of like your original, like what was your original idea? And then has it, I'm just obviously developed, but has it changed as you've looked at logistics? Take us a little bit through that process.
Sure. Yeah, it definitely has changed and it's continuing to change. I even had a conversation with John Breed yesterday and things have changed since then. So it's an ongoing process. But initially I was thinking of it just being an online marketplace and I was faced with questions of why wouldn't people use OfferUp? Why wouldn't people use eBay? And I did find myself struggling to answer that with any other reason besides being, oh, it's a niche market for college students. Mm-hmm. And after I pitched my classes and heard feedback, what I heard was that we wouldn't really want to store it or we wouldn't want to take care of it. Like, what if you helped with that aspect? And I was like, that's a good question. And I really thought about it. And then I thought about the storage aspect of that and the whole drop-off and pickup stations. Since then, I've also been trying to change that as well because something that was brought up in the Innovation Challenge was that the storage could be very expensive and costly. And I always get questions about what that would look like. And that's something that I'm trying to figure out how to lower the costs with. So I have some ideas about that right now that I think could be fruitful. So it's continuing to change. It's going to keep changing.
Right. Yeah. And that's just normal process.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. So you weren't really thinking about the storage aspect when you began. And then that's become actually probably a really big part of your value proposition.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I was like thinking, so like, why wouldn't I just use Facebook Marketplace? But it seems like what you're doing is bringing a lot of the friction out of the process.
Exactly. Because
I sell stuff on Facebook Marketplace and you have people spamming you and wanting to trade and doing all this kind of like different stuff. And something like this seems, especially I love the idea of kind of the pickup and drop off zones and making it more of kind of an event. I mean, it could be fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like how you're saying with Facebook Marketplace, it can be really unsafe for students because my boyfriend always uses OfferUp. He's always meeting up with people to drop off and pick up stuff. And luckily he's a tall man and he doesn't really have to worry about stuff like that. But for me, I don't want to face those kinds of challenges. And I know I would face those challenges if I had to meet up with people. So providing the pickup and drop off stations, taking the friction out of it, makes them want to use it more and it's a lot safer for them. So I think it really pushes it more towards them using the product or the service as a whole.
Nice. Take us. Got a cough. I'm going to edit this part out.
No, you're good.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your go-to-market strategy. How are you going to go from basically where you are right now in the idea phase to like, how do you market? How are you envisioning marketing this and getting, what are the big things that you need to do to actually get this going?
Yeah. So right now I'm still really figuring out the logistics. Like I said, I haven't really taken much action. I'm still developing the thought process of it. But right now I'm trying to figure out how I can reach out to potential partners and figure out how that would work. But on the marketing side of it, once I get all that figured out, my goal is to start here at FSU, hopefully next year. And I will probably be using a lot of the residence halls and the sustainability organizations on campus to market this because everyone I've spoke to has said, this, I would have immediately used this. So I know there's a big market for it. So I really plan to just use all the resources at FSU to put it out. I can table at Market Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I can see what works at FSU. And then hopefully once I perfect it a little bit, if I get to the point of expanding, I can then use what I've learned from there. But really just staying local, using the sustainability organizations, residence halls, all that kind of deal.
No, that's super smart. I was like wondering, okay, how do you get the word out? Because you need a critical mass, right? Because if you have just 3 microwaves and a bed cover, it's, that getting that critical mass is, it seems like it'd be a challenge. But if you're really like work on it right now and things like that, and especially if you can get FSU behind it, which I don't see why they wouldn't get behind it, that it definitely could be a really cool thing. So in the process, you mentioned John Breed. Who's helped you along the way? What kind of assistance have you gotten from faculty or organizations here on campus?
Ultimately, I would say John Breed has been the biggest influence I've had. His class experience is 3001, whatever that class is. Yeah. Having him has been the most helpful. He really lowers the stakes in the class and makes you feel comfortable enough to share, because obviously it's nerve-wracking, especially when you have an idea that you're not so sure about. It's in the early phases. So he really pushed me to pitch and show my pitch deck, and he allowed me to send it to him, and he gave me some advice about that. So every step of the way, I've been communicating with him, and because that's exactly what the class is for, is to help you think through your ideas. The Innovation Challenge was just like a faster paced version of the class. So he was really there for me for that, and he still is. So I would say mainly him. He's been my biggest resource.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you in experiences in entrepreneurship now, or was that last semester?
Currently.
Yeah. Okay. And that's the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. So you said you're technically a sophomore, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So how long have you been at FSU? Did you come in as a first year, whatever their person?
Yeah.
I don't know what they call it anymore.
Yeah, I came in as a freshman. Okay. So I've been here, since then.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And you said you're from South Florida. So what are some of the other challenges that you faced, like that you didn't expect in this process?
That's definitely a good question. I think the whole thing has been challenging. I didn't expect it to be easy. I expected to face a lot of challenges, and I know that it's a complex idea. So just along the way, every time I set a goal, oh, what's my next step? I figure that out. Then I'm faced with a new challenge. How am I going to get the next thing done? So it's just a continuous phase of challenges. But really, I think one of the other things that I've been facing challenges with is just hearing feedback and knowing when to take good feedback and bad feedback. It's difficult, especially because for faculty, it's obviously very important to listen to you guys. You are the entrepreneurship professors, but hearing from students as well is interesting because we are the ones who are experiencing it. So it's just figuring out when to take advice and who to listen to that to make sure you're staying on track.
No, yeah, that's really good. That's a really good answer. In my classes, I bake in a lot of public feedback from students and from me. We do something called alphas and deltas.
I'm in your class,
I'm talking for other people. So getting feedback and things like that. I think a lot of us, myself included, getting feedback can be really challenging. And then exactly what you said, what feedback do you listen to? Because not all feedback is equal, or maybe you're doing something against the norm or something like that. But it's intentional, right?
Yeah.
And that's good. And you should stick to your guns. So no, that's fantastic. So I always like to end with this question. Now that you're down the path a little bit, what would you tell yourself now? Tell yourself before you beat that. I'm phrasing this horribly. Would you tell the pre-entrepreneur Johanna now that would have helped you along the way?
It's a good question. I think it would be mainly just knowing that, make sure I tell myself, listen, this is a good idea. I know it sounds intimidating right now, but you experience this, other people experience this as a need. So just to not let myself be discouraged, and also just to tell myself that if I actually am serious about this, to put a timeline around things and set goals, frequent goals, because otherwise I'll just let it be on the back burner for a long time. And I think that's definitely a big lesson I've learned with the way that I work and the way that I'm going to keep going forward with that is I need to put timelines around things, make sure I really think about my next steps, talk to people about them, just to stay structured. And the timelines can be obviously on your own time. It doesn't have to be constantly go, but I think having like measurable goals is very helpful. So that's what I would mainly tell myself.
That's a good word. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Hey, thank you for tuning in to the Innovation Mindset powered by the Jim Moran College of Entrepreneurship. If you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to comment and share. That helps us get the word out. So we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.